This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
Hey, good Friday to you. Thanks for joining us this Wake Up Call SportsMap Radio. Ron Culver on vacation today. So just me solo, but that's all right as we take you through and get you ready for the weekend. Opening ceremonies going on. I'm not going to spoil it or anything in case you want to watch it later on tonight. That is going to be the trick of these Olympics, isn't it? I remember in 2000, I was working at a network in Las Vegas, and I was a sports anchor doing updates top and bottom of the hour. And, you know, we had a policy. We were going to give you Olympic updates, and they were going on in Australia. So there was that tape delay element that NBC was trying to do at the time. But our policy was we were going to give you the results. And, man, it felt weird because I can remember going, I think people really want to watch this tonight. It was all, you know, the track and field of results and the swimming results and the ones that were big. Rulon Gardner, if you remember, he was the wrestler that had the big upset in Sydney. And yet we just hit him up every time. And now it's, you can't get away from it. You would have to really actively stay away from Twitter and social media to not get the results if you're waiting for prime time to sort of watch to see how these results unfold. But nevertheless, the time difference is huge. It's going on right now. So the Olympic Games will be underway. And the United States men's basketball team is going to open up against France on Sunday. And of course, heavy favorites to win the gold, heavy favorites to medal, of course, and wouldn't expect anything less. But this is a team that is adding on a number of players in Devin Booker and Chris Middleton that are really tired, have gone through the finals, yet probably energized from that. Just, you know, just that feeling of being part of that big emotional run. How will they fare in the early games of these Olympics is something to be something to watch out for. I don't think the United States is really in any danger of losing. I know people have really pumped up the competition saying, look, some of these teams now have got good NBA players on them. There's a more cohesiveness to these teams than we have in the United States. They're not afraid of the United States like they used to. But in the end, let's be honest, isn't the men's basketball team going to win going away? I mean, if Kevin Durant is Kevin Durant, who's going to beat him? We'll talk more about the Olympics, but coming up, Big 12 meeting yesterday to decide what's going to happen to Oklahoma and Texas. They invited the schools to participate. I'll tell you what happened next on SportsMap Radio.
Listening to Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Trade up any non-contact thermometer for a $5 rebate towards an Exergen purchased at any retailer. Accuracy matters more than ever when taking temperature, and published research shows non-contact models miss 5 out of 7 fevers. Upgrade to Exergen, the only home forehead thermometer proven accurate by published peer-reviewed clinical studies. Details at Exergen.com. The Big 12 gathered to meet to discuss the possible departure of Texas and Oklahoma to the SEC. Remember when they thought, oh, no, this is nothing. Don't worry about it. No, there was something to this. This was a real story. The Houston Chronicle reported it. They stood by it. The two schools didn't come out to deny it. They just sort of had no comment on it. And listen, whenever you have a no comment, it doesn't necessarily mean something's up. But if you would deny it, you would just deny it. And neither school did. But it's raising an interesting question, because what exactly is happening with the Big 12? They are claiming that they're going to make these schools stick to the agreements that they sign in terms of television broadcasting and the bylaws within the conference. And also, the SEC, it takes a majority vote to get in. Texas A&M is lobbying heavily to not allow Texas and Oklahoma into the conference. And look, I think the conference, I think the SEC is going to vote and let those schools in. But, at the same time, I mean, money. But if you're looking at a recruiting angle to this, I don't know if I'd want to be in a recruiting war if I'm Texas A&M against Texas that's now in the SEC or Oklahoma that's now in the SEC. And I'll be honest with you, if I'm Missouri, if I'm LSU, if I'm, you know, even Ole Miss, Mississippi State, there are some schools that even though I'll go into that territory, I don't want Texas and Oklahoma vying for these athletes either. And now those schools become even more attractive if they're playing in the largest conference. And now the SEC is on the verge of becoming powerful. It's interesting where this is going to go because I don't know legally what the Big 12 can do other than file for damages if these two schools bolt and leave. I don't know if legally they can make them stay in the conference if they want to leave. I bet you Texas and Oklahoma, for that matter, have gone over everything with a fine-tooth comb before they even started discussions with the SEC about possibly leaving. I mean, wouldn't it be weird if Texas had this conversation with the SEC and the SEC said, yeah, you know, you and Oklahoma, that'd be fine. We're going to vote on it over here. And then all of a sudden Texas calls up and goes, yeah, we didn't check the contracts and apparently we're not even allowed to do this. Oh, I guarantee you there's about 10 lawyers that went through that contract with a fine-tooth comb to make sure that they could do this. And it leads to a larger question because it was something we were talking about yesterday with Ron, which was, where are we going with this in college sports? And is it good? It doesn't matter, to be honest with you, if it's good, if we don't like it or like it. It's just this is the way it's going to be. But we don't know if this is something we're going to enjoy, the way college football is going to operate, especially college football. Now, we can stay in the college football realm, even though Texas and Oklahoma leaving does have ramifications for its other sports, and it certainly has ramifications for the Big 12 in other sports, including men's and women's basketball. But the reality of it is there is a whole different way of doing business now that has not been gradual. It has been just a complete ocean wave of change that has occurred within the last couple of years. It was something we were talking about yesterday, which is if you just go back 10 years, you would find an entirely different way college sports has done business. And now 10 years later, the whole thing has been changed. Right. The whole, and it's not just college football playoff. It is now name, image, and likeness. It is now pretty much the irrelevancy of the NCAA and its power. How many of you are old enough to remember when an NCAA investigation was a major deal? They almost had an FBI, CIA, DEA level of power when they came onto your campus. Now, they didn't have subpoena power because they couldn't make you talk. I mean, it wasn't criminal, but they had a presence that would scare you as a fan if your school was being investigated. They could take things away. They could make your life a living hell. They could punish you in a way where you'd be irrelevant for years and years and years. Go back to the 30 for 30 pony excess on SMU. How when they came down with the death penalty for SMU, the NCAA officer who had a nervous breakdown because these were major penalties that they knew were going to affect this program in a way that they may never recover from. Imagine if your favorite school, if it was a major football power and the NCAA said, nope, you can't play football and you're shut down. They didn't do it again. They did a little bit, but they never shut a major program down again, but they had power. Now they have none. None. What are they going to investigate? And if they do, who cares? This should have happened a long time ago. So now you've got that plus the emergence of, and if this goes to fruition, the creation of one of the greatest football powers that we'll have in this country. The SEC with those two teams creating a 16-team conference, with those two historic teams in a conference like the SEC, it is going to be a print money entity that is going to be as powerful as our professional sports leagues, even though they'll have half the teams. I mean, think how powerful the SEC would be with Oklahoma and Texas in their midst. Who else out there, what conference out there would be able to convince good recruits, that their conference was a better option than landing in the SEC, that now will increase its geographical area even more. I mean, you start landing some other schools in the conference, if you want to create a 30-team, I mean, it's going to be insane. But they are taking their footprint and they're spreading it out. And it does extend. It's not just Texas, right? It's like Texas recruits all over the country. Alabama recruits all over the country. Oklahoma recruits all over the country. They are spreading their wings all around the recruiting world, and they can offer the five-star recruits the best situation for them to maximize their talent and dollars. This has got to be a scary prospect for coaches in other conferences. Now, if you're Ohio State, right, you just care about winning. Hey, we're going to win the Big Ten, we're going to beat Michigan, and we're going to create a team that is going to be good enough to be considered as part of this playoff. It's not just going to be an SEC love affair when we have this playoff. If we're good, we're good. Right? Schools like that, okay. But if you're Michigan State, if you're Wisconsin, if you're on the cusp of being halfway decent, and you are going around going in your own backyard, in your own area, and you're already competing against the Buckeyes, right? You're already competing against Michigan. You're already competing against these other schools within your own conference. And now all of a sudden, here's the SEC going, you know, it may be a little far from home, but this conference has so much opportunity for you to not only make the kind of money that you want to make as a student athlete, but put you on a stage that is so different than any other conference can offer. It'll be a big game every day. It'll be a big game all the time. You'll be on big time national television with the national interest behind you. And think how lucrative that can be. Now, don't get me wrong. They're not promising money or endorsements on recruiting athletes, but I guarantee you the hint will be there. It's a little scary, but it's also really exciting. And to be honest with you, taking a hammer to the eggshell that was the NCAA is the best thing the sport could have done, without question. It was a bloated bureaucracy that made no sense to anybody, and it was punishing people for stupid rules because they clung on to the belief, the ridiculous belief, that a student athlete, the quarterback of the football team, or the center for the basketball team, or the guard for the basketball team, or whoever, should not have one little tiny advantage in their daily life than a regular student at that university. It's always been wrong. It's always been different. It's always been special. And the NCAA tried so hard to put its tentacles into those schools to find out if you were giving a kid a sandwich. And it made no sense. It took me 10 seconds. A kid from the middle of nowhere, New Hampshire. And I mean, I'm telling you, I grew up in the middle of nowhere, New Hampshire. Little small town, not far from skiing, right? Little college football was Dartmouth, Boston College with Doug Flutie. No feeling of what it's like on campus, just watching it on TV with Keith Jackson. When I went to South Carolina, I knew the second I got there that if you were on the football team, your life was different than mine. I mean, my dorm was a concrete block. Like, they lived in dorms with hot tubs. Like, I knew the second I got there. I knew the second I got there when there was a kid in my freshman class that was on the football team. He was a, like, third-string quarterback, freshman quarterback. I think he was redshirting. And this girl in the class knew everything about him because she followed Gamecock football really well. That's when I knew it was different. I mean, it's always been that way, and the NCAA tried to convince people it wasn't. On Twitter, at Tony D Radio, as Ron is on vacation today as we continue. Coming up, the Olympics getting started. What about the men's basketball team, and what does Greg Popovich have with the new additions coming up? That's next on Wake Up Call.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Have a car problem but don't know where to go? Maybe you're not close to home when your car breaks down. Let O'Reilly Auto Parts help. With O'Reilly Auto Parts Shop Referral Program, take the guesswork out of finding a great shop wherever you are. Call an O'Reilly location near you or visit O'ReillyAuto.com. Click Find a Repair Shop to find a reparable repair facility or service center for your repairs. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Olympics underway. I have been... I don't want to down the Olympics. I really try not to. I love the Olympics, to be honest with you. When I was a kid, it was a huge deal. Like Jim McKay, ABC. ABC Wide World of Sports was a fun show back, you know, because one of the things about growing up in the time I grew up was, you know, it was very late to get cable. So the networks were really the only place where I got sports. And Wide World of Sports would have like Acapulco cliff diving, and they'd have skiing, and they'd have bobsledding and caber tossing. I mean, there was any sport that they could put on, they would put on ABC Wide World of Sports. But for the most part, it was a vehicle for the Olympics. It was a vehicle to do sports for the Olympic Games. So they would do the downhill championships. They would do figure skating. They'd do the speed skating, track and field. They would have these when they would be non-Olympic events to get their staff ready for the Olympic Games, because it was the biggest thing that they put together at ABC every 4 years. And back then it was the Olympics of winter and summer the same year. So they were really, really jam-packed with information. And so as a kid, I grew up kind of knowing who these people were, right? These skiers and skaters and runners and swimmers and whatnot. But as I grew up, I started to sort of separate myself a little bit. I wasn't paying as much attention. Wide World of Sports kind of disappeared. I wasn't watching it anymore. And then it was like when the Olympics would come around, whether it was in Barcelona in 92 or Atlanta, I just sort of went, yeah, they'll tell me who to watch for and who to pay attention to when I get ready to watch the games. That's exactly what they did. You know, when NBC would have it, they'd say, hey, here's the guys, here's the people, here are the American people you want to pay attention to. And that's how Michael Phelps, you know, for me, Michael Phelps became a star, watching him in Athens, you know, in 2004. And then what he did in China, in Beijing in 2008 was just super incredible. And whether it was, you know, Ryan Lochley in swimming or those runners that we've had or any sort of athlete, that's always, you know, they've always took care of it. And I feel like this year has been different because of COVID. We're just trying to get this thing in. And so the pageantry of the Olympics or the run-up to the Olympics has sort of been lost. And I think that's a shame because, again, it's only once every 4 years that you get these kind of games. Now we've gone 5 years since the last time we've had the Olympics. And yet I don't know what to watch for, right? I don't know who's in, who's out. I'm kind of forgetting who got COVID and had to go home or who got COVID and had to be quarantined and may not be there. And, you know, I mean, it's difficult. Right. It's not the same group of athletes that we've been sort of over the last year or two been told they're going to go and make a splash and in the pool at you know, all the things that they would say about our Olympic athletes. You know, I was talking about this yesterday with the U.S. women's soccer team. Right. And I know they knelt and people don't like that. And there's a lot of politics that goes on and they. You know, people disagree with them politically and have a problem with some of the athletes, including Megan Rapinoe. But when they lost, I saw a lot of real anger from people, like, you know, not anger, but glad, you know, that they had lost because they didn't like this team. And I didn't feel that way back, you know, years and years ago. That would just be like, you just root for Team USA. Even if you disagreed or had problems, you would still never actively root against one of the Olympic teams for your country. But pride in country has a different meaning today than it did, you know, 5 years ago and even and going all the way back. But if you know, when I look back at some of the bigger sports moments, you know, and I look back at things I remember really excited about from the Olympics, you know, you have things like, you know, Tonya Harding and Nancy Kerrigan. That's obviously was one of the big deals. In fact, that figure skating event was one of the most watched television shows of all time. If you look at the Nielsen ratings of the greatest rated shows of all time, like MASH and Super Bowls, Nancy Kerrigan, Tonya Harding, when they had their figure skating in Lillehammer in 1994, it's one of the most watched sporting events of all time. But like you remember, you know, Carl Lewis at the Olympic Games in 84 in Los Angeles. Again, Soviet bloc countries boycotted, but still a lot of American pride, right? There's so many events at the Olympics that I remember and I enjoyed. I'm not getting the same feel for this one. If they pull this off in 2 weeks from now, we're talking about the closing of the Olympic Games and how many medals the United States won and who emerged as a superstar. I hope we do that. That's a true normal result that we've been looking for in all of sports. Think about this. We just had earlier this week on Tuesday night a real sense of normalcy. And you can even go back to whether it was the Tampa Bay Lightning winning this, the Tampa Bay Lightning winning the Stanley Cup, for example, or Phil Mickelson winning the PGA. When you watch how many people were in the crowd and what the crowds were doing, right, outside the arenas, inside the arenas, a packed house, Phil hitting that final shot on 18 and the crowd just like buries him in an ocean of people who were going up to the green to see him make that putt. Those were normal sporting results or sporting circumstances that made us feel like we were making the turn on COVID. To see that kind of crowd, to see 65,000 people in Milwaukee watching outside the arena as the Bucks were winning the NBA championship, right? Makes us feel like it's back, right? We're not playing in front of empty crowds. We're not playing in front of, we're not playing in a bubble where we're putting in artificial noise. That feels weird. It's not the same. Right. We know that there's a pandemic and we know the pandemic is serious because our athletes are all wearing masks and they're playing inside a Disney World bubble in front of nobody. Or they're playing in Canada in front of nobody for the Stanley Cup. Or they're playing golf tournaments where nobody's around the golf course at all. And yet this year we saw how COVID, we were able to sort of beat it as fans and attend these events. Not all the events. The U.S. Open in California had limited fans and whatnot. This is going to remind us once again that we are in a global pandemic. When you watch these games, you can't help but notice how much COVID is going to be a part of these Olympic games. There's not going to be anybody watching, nobody cheering. There isn't going to be that moment for NBC to say, there's his mom who took him to the swim meets all of his youth. It's not going to be that way. And so when you watched the NBA Finals on Tuesday and you heard the unbelievable noise that was going on inside that building and the just incredible crowd size that was going on outside, maybe you forgot we're still in a pandemic in some ways. But this Olympics, they'll bring it right back. Now, again, I hope that the athletic achievements, and it doesn't even have to be American. It could be anybody, to be honest with you, that does really well, sets world records, or has a really great story attached to them. I do hope that in the end, those are what shines out of these Olympics. Because if 2 weeks, if they get it all in, okay, the sponsors got taken care of. The television rights got taken care of. Everybody that was supposed to get something out of this, any of these games financially probably did. But for you and me, the average fans that are watching, just sports fans that are watching, if at the end of this all, we just feel like we got through it, we plowed through it, we got it done, that's not really serving what the Olympics were about. This one time every 2 years now, 4 years when you go back to like my youth and for many of you, it was a real time of watching sports we didn't see on a regular basis, rooting for the United States all the time, no matter who was, who the athlete was, a real sense of pride, looking at that medal board to see how many golds the U.S. had compared to other countries, looking at the medal total just to see where the United States was to everybody else. It's not going to be the same if all they're doing is let's get these in, let's get them over with, send them home, that's it, let's wrap it up. Here's your archery, folks. Boom, done, out. Here's badminton. Isn't that fun? Beach volleyball's next, and then we'll be done with that. If that's what the Olympic Games are, and if that's what the Olympic Games feel like, failure, failure. We're just... It's probably never going to be like it was in the 1970s and 80s and even in the 90s. But it doesn't have to be a sense of, let's just wrap this up as quickly as we can, get out of here. That's just reminding people where exactly we are. on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. We'll get to Twitter coming up. And we'll also take a little look at the NFL. Cowboys and Steelers, Buccaneers in camp as we get gearing up for the upcoming seasons. Next on Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. We continue. It's Wake Up Call Sports Map Radio on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. I'm Michael on Twitter. It's time for the Big Ten to counter if the SEC, if this SEC thing happens, maybe poach some ACC teams. Yeah. Eventually a Big Ten SEC in the Pac-12. Yeah, it's a good point. So if you're the Big 12, right, now you're down to eight teams, wouldn't you just leave if you're Kansas and Kansas State and Baylor? You just be like, all right, where are we going? We ain't going to hang out and doing here. Or do you fight and say, all right, look, it's not Texas and Oklahoma, but hi, Houston, do you want to join? Hi, I don't know, whoever, you want to join? Maybe Nebraska goes, yeah, maybe we come back. I don't know. I don't know how that will look across the board in terms of the way college football is. It's weird. Like, remember when Notre Dame went to the ACC last year because of COVID, and now they're like, Notre Dame to rejoin the, you know, for football? It's like, eventually they probably will, but they're always like, nah, we're independent, we're good, we got our own network, we're fine. Man, so many, this world, this college football world, I was talking about it earlier, is changing so rapidly. We don't know. Remember, yesterday, I put it out, the M. Night Shyamalan movie, Old, that's coming out. I don't know what the movie, how good the movie is, but the premise is that people are on this island and they're growing old by every hour. They're like, they're aging a year per half hour or something. So that, you know, they're rapidly aging. That's what college football is doing. It's like changing every minute. The one thing I will say that is going to be an interesting development is this name, image, and likeness stuff, where these athletes are becoming instant millionaires, and you can't, if you're 18 years old, okay, and you just graduated high school, and there are people coming at you constantly, you have to hire an agent to handle all of the requests. And they can do that. Under this ruling, they can do that. But what happens when that agent starts calling coaches to start saying, hey, my guy, here's the deal, coach. He ain't playing enough. And he's got an opportunity to play down the road. And so we're wondering, you know, if you can play him more. Like, it's not going to be the kid going to the coach and sitting in the coach's office and going, coach, what do you want? I'm going to transfer. You're going to transfer? Did you raise a quitter? No, it's not going to be that anymore. Just the agent will call. That's the world. Tony Kornheiser said this yesterday on PTI. It's now pro football, isn't it? Tell me what difference college football is going to be from pro football now. Outside of salary cap and contracts. Like, the way players interact with their coaches and the team, there's going to be an agent buffer, and the top players are going to have these individuals doing this for them. Think about if you were 18 and you were on campus at like USC and you had an agent, and his job was to cater to whatever you needed because you were making close to $1 million in endorsements and he was getting a cut. I don't know if I want I don't want kids with that kind of power, but you know, we let him in the NBA right out of high school for a while before we said, nah, you got to wait a year. This is going to be very interesting. Like I said, I don't know if it's good or bad, though. I don't know if it's good or bad. But it's going to have the feel of pro football. Speaking of pro football, the Steelers are in camp. Buccaneers now in camp. The Dallas Cowboys in camp. Steelers and Cowboys playing the Hall of Fame game, so they got the first preseason game out of the slate. Tampa Bay will open up the season against Dallas, so they get a little early start to training camp. Everybody else is on the 28th, I believe. So this season, You know, one of the things I remember telling you guys this a while back. A couple of weeks ago, I wrote down all of the 32 teams, and right next to them, I put in who I thought was going to be the starting quarterback. Now, what happened was, a lot of times, you know, there may be a quarterback controversy or who's going to be under center. Do the Bears put Justin Fields in right away, or do they go with more veteran? What I didn't, some of those quarterbacks that I wrote down were guys I kind of forgot had moved on to other teams. Like, as I was doing it, I paused and went, oh yeah, he doesn't play there anymore. He left. He's on this team now. And now this guy's here. And that's where this team is going in that direction. And they drafted this guy. And it was really interesting. And it kind of made me, you know, an eye opener, you know, was like, you know, Matt Stafford's in Los Angeles, and that actually might work. That might work out pretty good for the Rams, right? I'm really looking forward to seeing that. But the one thing that I'm still wondering about is, what exactly is going to happen to Deshaun Watson? Like, nobody really wants him. Houston's going to keep him. They're tanking. They're getting rid of everybody, and J.J. Watt's gone, right? So they're just a team that's going to try to rebuild. They wanted to rebuild with him, but I don't know if today they want to rebuild with him. You know, you got this situation in New England, for example, with Cam Newton fighting off Mac Jones. I think Bill Belichick goes veteran, but how long before he goes, not Mac Jones? Look, if you're Bill Belichick, you don't go 7-9 again, right? Now you got to go 7-9-1, but, you know, 7-10. But you don't go, you don't have a losing record again. You don't do this back-to-back years, right? You can do the first year. Yeah, we lost a Hall of Fame quarterback. It's hard to replace. You know, it's not just next man up. It's not just do your job. We lost one of the greatest quarterbacks to ever play in the NFL. We were going to take a step back. But this offseason, with those moves that we made, we're not doing that again. And the guy under center better be aware that we're not doing that again. That's not going to be the case in other places. Like, if you get drafted in the early rounds of the NFL as a quarterback, you're taking over a bad team. The expectation isn't Super Bowl. The expectation isn't playoffs. The expectation is growth. Trevor Lawrence has to show growth. Him and Urban Meyer both get a year to show that this is going to work, right? Well, for Lawrence, he's got a lot more years. Urban Meyer, I'm just waiting for him to call up, you know, Shad Khan and say he's too sick to coach, or he doesn't want to coach anymore. But that's the joy of being drafted 1, 2, 3, 4. You know, you're going to a team where you've got some room. But if you get drafted by a team where you're the future, and the future is today, that becomes a little bit more difficult. Because you're going to have to meet an expectation that Trevor Lawrence doesn't have to meet if you're Mac Jones and you get thrusted into the starting job. Naturally, you have better athletes around you, but the learning curve isn't there. You got to be good. You know, Ben Roethlisberger took over a Steeler team after Tommy Maddox had gotten hurt, but the Steelers had struggled in 2003. You know, they had some bad years. They had some years where that's why they were able to draft 11th and get Roethlisberger in the first place. But when he took over and they started winning a ton of games, the expectation was increasing with him. He wasn't just on this magical winning journey that most Steeler fans, including myself, just sort of expected to slow down a little bit. No, he had the team in first place. He had the team, you know, winning all their games and had home field advantage throughout the playoffs. What happened when they played the Patriots? He wasn't really a match for New England. He wasn't capable of winning that game. Now, the next year, they won the Super Bowl. But that first year, he struggled because, one, he had never played that many games in his career in one season, being a college kid into the NFL. And two, it just was going to catch up to you eventually, even when you are surrounded by good players. And even when the next year that Roethlisberger and the Steelers won the Super Bowl, they did so with an offense that wasn't really about Ben throwing it all over the place. In fact, he had a terrible quarterbacking game in the Super Bowl against Seattle. It wasn't really good statistically, yet it was just enough. Right, so if you're New England, Cam Newton better be the answer, or Mac Jones better be surprisingly good as a rookie coming in. If you're going to do exactly what you plan on doing, which is not have a losing season and be competitive in that division that Buffalo is kind of running away with. Man, I'll tell you this. I am looking forward to so many different storylines this year. I'm looking forward to seeing where the Cowboys are going to be healthy, how long they stay healthy, what that division it does in response to the Cowboys being healthy. And even though you look at Dallas at 6-10, losing Dak and just still not being able to win a weak division, it's not about the Cowboys. I was talking to my brother, who's a Cowboys fan, about this yesterday. I asked him, I said, you know, this team, when healthy, they should be an NFC, one of the NFC teams that should go to the Super Bowl. I'm not saying they will, but they should be in the conversation. He goes, man, I just want them to win a playoff game. I'm like, what? You have all of these weapons. What are you talking about? You just want to win a playoff game. You're not that 6-10 team. You're a team that should have been much better last year healthy. You lost him in week 5. You started Andy Dalton and Ben DiNucci, for crying out loud. You weren't getting anything going anywhere. But the Dallas Cowboys should be a team in the NFC that is right around where the top teams are going to be. Right? Look, I expect a team to emerge from the West. Maybe it's Seattle. Maybe it's the Rams. I don't know. Maybe it's Arizona that pops up. San Francisco healthy. Who knows? One of those teams will be very good. I think the Packers, if they have Aaron Rodgers, will be one of the favorites. The Buccaneers should be the favorite. But I don't think you can write Dallas Cowboys, a healthy Dallas Cowboy team, off as a 1B or 1C on that level with the amount of weapons that they have. And likewise in the AFC, to look at where Carson Wentz might do something in Indianapolis, to see where Tennessee is going to go with Julio Jones. And I'll tell you, even though they are not expected to win a lot of games, I will be paying a lot of attention to Jacksonville and Urban Meyer. I'll more likely be more interested in him in year 2 or 3. The first year is kind of open, right? I always hate when people say, he's a bust. After 3 games, it's like, come on. Look at that. He came up to the majors and he struck out in his first at bat. He stinks. People who do that, just slow down. Same thing in the NFL. Slow down. But 2 or 3 years from now, I do want to see if Urban Meyer is capable of taking the Jaguars to that next step, especially if the division gets harder and harder. All right, on Twitter again, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with 2 N's. As we continue, it's Sports Map Radio. It's Wake Up Call.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
This hour of Wake Up Call, presented by Rocket Mortgage. Take a mortgage, need a mortgage that fits your life? Rocket can. All right, so last night I had a lot of anchoring work to do. We have a couple of guys out, so I said to my son, I'm like, I need to watch a movie. I got to write a lot. I got to edit a lot. I need a movie to sort of occupy my brain, and I need to watch a movie that I've seen before because I don't want to get into something new. Like, I got to focus on writing and I got to focus on editing. So I'd like a movie that I've seen before that I liked, even if I maybe didn't even necessarily love. You know what I settled on last night? I settled on The Irishman, that 3-hour Scorsese movie that was launched on Netflix about a year ago or so, year or so. It was the one with Joe Pesci and Robert De Niro and Al Pacino as Jimmy Hoffa. And I didn't really like it when it came out the first time. It was good, but it wasn't the same as Goodfellas. It wasn't the same as Casino. It was a little slower. The story wasn't as enthralling to me as those two other stories were. But I rewatched it, and I got to say, it was better the second time. I don't know why the first time didn't hit me right. I thought it was better the second time. Maybe because I knew what was coming and I kind of got a deeper feel for the dialogue and a deeper feel for the movie. The problem is it was super long. 3-hour movies just don't sit with me anymore. I don't mind sitting through a 3-hour movie if it's good, if it's really good. As I've gotten older, I don't want to sit through them. I just, very, very long movie. But I really do appreciate that level. Like, I feel like when Scorsese stops making movies, that I don't know if there's anybody that can do the mob drama like him. I don't think anybody is capable of putting together the mob story as well as he can. That was one of the beauties of Goodfellas, was it was an insight into a life that was attractive from the outside, but then showed you that in the end, you really didn't want to be a part of it. Like, in the beginning, it was cool. Like, they got to do whatever they wanted, and they just hijacked cars and made money, and they had money and partying all the time. But by the middle to the end, you went, you know, I'm good. I'm glad I wasn't involved in that. I'm glad I wasn't around that as a kid or grew up in that environment to get involved in that. Because it just went haywire. Casino was kind of the same way. This gave you the similar angle, but it wasn't, you know, it's good. So that's my movie recommendation, is rewatch The Irishman on Netflix if you have a chance to watch it. I like mob movies. They're good. They're fun. It depends. Like, I remember telling you guys about Donnie Brasco, and I rewatched Donnie Brasco. There's something about that genre that is appealing. There's something about the stories, because they're all a little different. They all have a little different. Some are based on true stories. Some are based on people's accounts, but not really based on true stories. More, you know, embellishment of the truth. But there's an element to them that I think Scorsese does really well. So that's my. If you're looking for something, because, you know, there's not a lot going on this weekend outside the Olympics, there you go. But I am going to watch the Olympics this weekend. I am. I do want to see how it plays out on NBC. I do want to see what it looks like. Right, I do want to see like, isn't swimming the first few events of the Olympics? Doesn't it go swimming and track and field? I think that's how it goes. But like, the United States basketball team is playing France on Sunday. I'll watch that. See what it's like. No crowds. Oh God, it's gonna be like 2020 all over again. Maybe they'll pump in artificial noise. I can't say they won't. Hour number two coming up. More into the college football as everybody's looking forward to the upcoming season. And we'll take a look at that as well as we continue along. Again on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. As we continue, it's Wake Up Call Sports Map Radio.